Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want to say we had a tremendous week this week. We continue to pounce on Governor Snyder and Albert Choco. We continue to let them know that we're not going to take this mess anymore. Right now, I'm in Chicago myself. I'm doing this by remote. And it's getting these. I'm at a convention myself, so if you hear some noise in the back, I want you to know that we're just having a good time here in the city of Chicago. But before we get into the show, let me tell you about the voices from Benton Harbor, Michigan. It reads, Benton Harbor is now under a dictatorship. Benton Harbor is a community which has been abandoned, kicked, beaten, and suffocated. No population have to endure for a decade what the residents of Benton Harbor has to deal with. The Emergency Financial Manager, we call him the EFM, who is a dictator in the city of Benton Harbor, has issued an order stripping all city commissioners and the mayor and all city board members of the authority to take action. Joseph Harris is not an elected official. He was placed here by the governor and also by Whirlpool, the blood-sucking corporation, the former governor, Jennifer Granholm. And don't forget, Rick Snyder. He's the one who actually gave him the power to strip the people of their power. But I tell you this, things have been rolling. Things have been going to a whole different level, and I'm happy to say this. You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and we're here in Chicago. We're doing the show from Chicago today, and I tell you, we have some very interesting topics here, too. And I tell you, it's getting to be good. Here's what it says. It's a 100 rallies against dictatorship in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Hundreds of people rallied against the dictatorship in the city of Benton Harbor. Hundreds of people came from communities across Michigan, gathering in Benton Harbor, Michigan, to rally against the takeover of the city by an EFM, which simply, he's a dictator, and the city itself is under martial law. The bar response showed a growing outrage and development against the moves by the state government and the corporation to eliminate democracy. Democracy no longer exists in the city of Benton Harbor. People understand that Benton Harbor may be first, but democracy in Michigan and indeed the entire nation is at stake. Protesters held signs, fascism reborn in Michigan. Is this America? Tax the rich. Recall Snyder. Say no to dictatorship, because Rick Snyder is a dictator. Keep the greedy corporation's hands off of my Medicare. Outsource Rick and more. Plans are on the way right now to alter the governor, Rick Snyder, the emergency financial manager, Joe Harris, and Albert Choco, the state representative for the 79th district. Many of the people, and that's the people, the People Tribune interview, agreed that the next step is to strengthen our unity as a working class and we forge our fight against corporation takeover. This is a path to create a government by and for of the people and by the people. I tell you, we're having a tremendous time here in the city of Chicago. I'm doing this program by remote control, and I want people to know that we're moving this baby to a whole different level. You will not hear my theme song, Martin Luther King, today, because as I told you before, we are doing the show from Chicago, remote from Chicago. But as I talk now, I'm going to bring on my guest, Ralph Porter. He's the perfect person to talk. Ralph, are you there?
I'm there, Reverend. And let me say to you, thank you, because Lynn told me of your letter. And she
thank
will be responsible. Well, she was pleased to get your letter. And what happened is, because she's helping other inmates, and the prison doesn't particularly like that, so they gave her a hit. There's a young woman named Pat Clark who has an outrageous story. But for decent legal aid, she would be on the street. And Lynn is doing your case. Of course, it's for free. And the prison, they're unhappy, so they gave her a shot. So she doesn't have stamps. She can't go to commissary for 2 weeks, and she can't use her email for 2 weeks. So therefore, she cannot write or communicate. She only gets her 10 minutes a day for all of her phone calls, and she talks to me, and she's having a meeting with her lawyers Wednesday, and so that'll take up a phone call with her lawyers, so that'll take up a lot of her minutes. So she cannot communicate, but she wanted me to say thank you so much for your letter. She will be responding quickly, and to remind people to keep up the struggle, you know, like against this evil government that you've been talking about. So she will have much more to say as soon as she gets her stamps back, because without commissary, she can't buy stamps. And they make a rule about getting stamps from other inmates. I mean, it is a ridiculous thing. But she will be back in the loop talking to us, you know, as best she can through her email and through her letters. About the struggle we're in. And as she was mentioning...
You know what? And I just love Lynn Stewart. You tell her that the Reverend Pinckney said, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to communicate with her. And I'm not at home now, so I'm in Chicago, and I'm doing the show from Chicago. We had a convention here. We was... Some of the things that we, you know, I pulled in some more people from all across the country, and we're doing some fantastic things. And also, I want you to know that Cynthia McKinney is going to be in Detroit October the 8th. She's going to be in Benton Harbor October the 8th for our Freedom Fund dinner. And she's right on top of what she's doing. She really want to come down and help. And do some things that's so incredible. And we, you know, I tell you, Ralph, I wish you could have been at this convention this week. I tell you, it took things to a whole different level. And I'm happy just to be able to do so. Any time that, you know, you can sit down with 80, 90 people, and all 80, 90 people are in support of what you're doing, I tell you, it's enough to take your head off. But look, let's get back to me.
As you said earlier in the program, it's not just about Benton Harbor. It's about the country.
No.
You just happen
Absolutely.
To be first. That they
That's
have
right.
taken this. As Lynn says, now let them talk about around the world about democracy. And we know we never had it here. You know, as black people, people of color, people who are poor, have never had democracy. And they're running around the world talking about it. So we must get democracy. Since they've talked so much about they hate our democracy, so we recognize that the president and all of his people, all of those of that class, hate democracy. That's why they're refusing to give it to us.
Absolutely.
But nothing is ever given. We must take it. And I said, whenever we speak of government, we have to speak a little of self-criticism. And we must criticize ourselves, because we've watched these corrupt local and statewide and nationwide politicians be so corrupt that there's not a thing they say that you can trust that they will say tomorrow. They say, as Obama said, you know, like, and I don't want to go down the list of what Obama said. But we don't have to go to Obama for that. All of our officials, all of our elected officials have become liars.
Absolutely.
And we must blame ourselves, because there was an old mafioso who used to say, the first time you do something wrong to me, shame on you. The second time you do it, shame on me. They've been doing it to us over and over again, and we keep giving them our vote. And I'm saying, no, they've got to. And when somebody said, where are the leaders? Well, look around. We are the leaders. And you fill your head out there, so everybody, make sure nobody has an excuse. You know, the next time around, these Democrats or Republicans can forget about it. They will not get our vote to sell our children's. And get it straight. They already sold us. We're sitting here, and they foreclosed not only on people's houses, they foreclosed on your rights of the, to
That's
vote.
Right.
They have city
That's
managers
right.
on. Foreclosure. So they've done it to us. We can't let them do it to our children. They cannot
Absolutely.
Sell our children's rights. So all I say to you, Reverend, is you continue so that no one can have an excuse about any elected official, because they'll have the opportunity to vote for one who's going to be straight, who's going to tell it like it is, and who has always told it like it is. So on that note, I will switch to Lynn. As you know, just by the fact that they've taken, you know, she can't write, she can't email, you know, she can write, but she can't mail, you know, because she has no stamps, and it'll be 2 weeks before she'll be able to buy stamps. So, and it started Wednesday, so it'll be, you know, like about a week before she'll be able to buy stamps, a week, maybe 10 days. So she'll be writing and getting your mail and getting the answers out, and she loves the letters that people write to her, and she will be trying to do her work, because there are several organizations who want her to write because they want her opinion on these grand jury resisters. What's happening is the government is extending their attack on those people. They call them ecological terrorists, people who want to save our ecology. They want to save the world for us. Those peace terrorists, they call them, those who support peace around the world, they're tearing up their homes. Some in Chicago, I'm sure you heard about it there, and Lynn has to write on that. But she sees very clearly what's happening. And as you know, the very fact that she's helping people here who cannot afford, you know, she says they accuse her of getting funds from the people she's helping. And so she says
right?
funds, these people don't even get letters. How are they going to ever get funds? Nobody writes to them. They are alone. And this is why she's taken on these cases, not as a lawyer, but as an ex-lawyer who's convicted and not unlicensed, serving her time with them, and they all understand it. And the prison officials never would have raised that issue if they understood the amount of pro bono work that Lynn Stewart did in New York. And one of the things that the myth was that she did more work than legal aid. Well, they have several hundred legal aid lawyers, but it just seemed like she was doing more free work than legal aid because of the quality of the work she did free. And as I was saying to her, I hope that they just call one person to ask that. You know, like, hey, you sending money, you know, to support one particular inmate, and they tell her, listen, I've been supporting Lynn Stewart and what she says for 40 years. You know, and she's been out there fighting for it, and now that she's in jail, we're supporting her. We're supporting
That's
her
right.
work. And but the thing is, what I love about this whole situation is the government has come down on her, but the local prison officials know who she is.
Absolutely. And you know what? Let me say this to you, Ralph. You are absolutely correct. And, you know, we love Lynn Stewart. We love her. We love you. We love her family. We love your family. We love all y'all, because it is important that people understand that we have to embrace y'all. But before we talk about that, I want to read just one little short article, and then I want you to comment on this. It says, a rose by any name smells just as sweet. The coup that overthrew democracy in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and established a dictatorship called Emergency Financial Manager, the fascism. No matter what they call it, corporate power has declared war on us. The law of the military war and the political war are the same. One of these laws is to never attack the enemy while they are strong. Attack while they are weak. The weak point in the defense of American democracy has always revolved around the African American. When President Reagan decided to attack the society safety net of all imperished Americans, he concentrated his fire on the welfare queen in the black ghetto. The majority of Americans still passed it, while laws were passed lowering the living standard. When the rest of the American realized these laws also applied to them, it was too late. Oh, I love that. When the rest of the American realized these laws also applied to them, it was too late. when the public sector union came under attack in Wisconsin, it created a firestorm, as it should have. Labor union and progressive rally to defend the union of the public servant workers. The American left is rooting in response to the economic struggle of the union. Meanwhile, corporate power moves swiftly and decisively to destroy democracy in Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor is a very, very poor community that few care about. They thought that the stage was set to destroy democracy in all of Michigan and then throughout the United States. Fascism has struck at the weakest point in Benton Harbor, where the struggle for democracy meets the reality of Black America. The future of our country is in the political, not the economic arena, but it's also in the economic arena also. Fascism is a political situation. Fascism has very little to do about economic order. To win this war, we must first disarm the enemy of historic weapon of race in the fight for political as well as economic rights of all Americans. Mm-hmm. The corporate takeover of Benton Harbor proved also again that if we the people do not take over the corporations, they will take over us. Did you hear what I just said, Ralph? If we do
Boy,
not
did
take
I heard
over.
Every word, right from Reagan on through. And what Reagan did is the so-called great communicator, he communicated to America that it was okay to be greedy. It was okay to deny the poor rights. It was the poor their rights. It was okay to deny the rest of the world their rights. And this is what he communicated. But I would like to go back to the day after Lynn was arrested. There was a conference in Berkeley, California.
Yes.
And when and the title of the conference was Coming of the Fascist State. And when Lynn got up to speak, you know, of course, everybody in the room knew who she was and what she stood for.
Uh-huh.
And she got up and said these words. It's interesting that this conference is called the Coming of the Fascist State, when the fascist state has been there all since the beginning of the Republic. And there's a segment of our population that has been under the rule of this fascist state. Indians, indigenous people, black people, South American people, any people of color have known the fascist state. And now it's coming to us. And she says, witness me, I'm white. Let's go to work. Well, it was a standing ovation. But people did not go to work. This was 8 years ago. People did not
see it coming.
They did not believe it. And so now, when they said the city managers, corporate managers, whatever they call them, and which is to Benton Harbor, then I think, what is it, 62 or 162 are in training? You know, to become city. That's not for Benton Harbor. They don't need 162 of them. That's going all around the country. And I'm saying, so
absolutely.
We didn't wake up, and the unions didn't wake up. But, you know, I don't want to get into the whole history of the unions, but we must always understand, you know, when I was a kid, black people couldn't join unions. And even when I went into adulthood, there were many unions that black people couldn't get into. So how are you going to make a strong foundation based on unionism when a large segment of the people who wanted to be in unions couldn't be in? And it was not government that was stopping them. It was the unions themselves. And now we're playing catch-up. And I say we because we're all in it together, whether we want to be in it or not. There are poor people, the people are as poor as I am, and they think they're rich.
Yeah,
they think they're middle class. No, you're not. We are in it together. And I'm saying, so we the poor, we the workers, and we now the unemployed, we have many, we now the homeless must develop an instrument to stop this corporate juggernaut that's rolling over all of us.
That's right.
And one of the things I say that we can do immediately is accept a philosophy that will unite.
Absolutely.
One philosophy, I say, I will not serve. I will not serve this empire. Of course, I'm an old man, and they don't ask me to serve anymore. But when they did ask me to serve in the Korean War, I didn't say anything. I didn't say, hell no, I will not go. I didn't say anything. I just didn't go. I disappeared into the population. Excuse me. You know, so now we all must learn this. You don't have to be Muhammad Ali to stand up refuse to serve. All you have to do is refuse to serve on any level they ask you to serve. And the first place, you know, when they talk about there's an economic shortage, there's a shortage of money. Nonsense. There is no shortage of money. America has 700 bases. Let me say it again. 700 plus military bases around the world in other countries. Every day it costs money. Now, I'm for pulling them all out. But if they want to solve this little economic problem we have, how about pulling 200 or shutting down 200 bases that are established around the world? And I'm saying, what are they established around the world to do? They're there to take other people's resources and money. Let's close up 200 bases and put the money into schools, put the money back into housing. Should never have paid the banks. And I'm saying, here Obama has his fixers in. They're going to fix the economy. And he has the same people who broke the economy.
Absolutely.
You see people talking about changing education. They're the same people who messed it up. So we have to stop saying we expect Mr. Obama to do anything. He does what his corporate managers put him there to do. He is the tranquilizer pill for the rest of us that we willingly take. And so the corporations are the doctors prescribing the tranquilizer pill, Obama. We accepted him. We ran out and voted for him. We have the unions, the corporate corrupt unions that are the pharmacists. And every time something happens, I say, general strike, let's not work, let's shut the country down. You don't have to get 100% of the workers to shut the country down. You know, 15-20% of the workers shut the country down. Let's have a general strike like they do in Spain and England. You're going to see a general strike in London. But in America, because we don't want to say that. We don't want to say, don't spend. I hear our wonderful, wonderful political allies are saying, the 9th of every month, don't spend a penny, which we can expand. Once we shut everything down the 9th of the month, it can be the 8th of the month, and the 9th, and the 10th, and the 11th. And when we begin to put our money in our pockets, buy nothing but food and shelter.
That's right.
If you have your guest on talking about that, I say people have to start paying attention. Let's forget about talking about what Obama did or didn't do. It's been said, the articulate and be hypocrite. You know, let's stop saying it. We don't have to say that anymore. We know that. But as my not-so-sainted father used to say to me, and when I would tell him any story of woe about what happened during the day or during my week, he would finally put down his newspaper after I told the story, and he would look at me and say, and then what did you do? And I think of that. And I'm saying, if he were alive today, he would put his news. He was senile when he went. He would put his newspaper down and say, and then what did you do? Don't tell me about all of this, what they did to you. He was a union organizer. He couldn't join the union. The AFL couldn't have black people. So he was a CIO. He organized in the coal mines and the steel mills. Didn't matter where he was. He was organizing. So this is what he did in a day and age. When they said you couldn't even be in the workforce. We got in the workforce and then continued doing. This is what we must do. We must take the avenues that are open to us. And I know some of your guests are going to come on today and talk about these avenues. And we must
Listen,
we must do.
You got 1 minute. I want you to.
Okay, let me
give
you Lynn Stewart's address because
then I
got to
bring
up the metal. Great, she loves the mail. Lynn Stewart, Carswell Medical Center or Medical Center Carswell, CARSWELL, 53504-054, Unit 2N. P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. And you can get this just by looking on the email if you have it. Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T .org. And it has all that information on it. So, Reverend, when I see her tomorrow and I have one more day to visit, I will tell her of your message. Thank you again. Love you all.
And love you, too. And I tell you, just stay focused and let's see where we're going to go. But listen, before I go into the next, I'm here in Chicago. I'm at a convention. And if you hear a lot of noise, we're simply at the convention, and we're enjoying every minute of it. It's been a wonderful, wonderful convention. But on that note, I want to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am, Reverend Pinckney. Hello to you. Hello to Ralph Porter and the radio audience.
And, yes, go right ahead.
I want to say to Mr. Plummer and to everyone, I appreciate you considering and telling people about the Boycott for Justice. We can do something. Mr. Plummer says, what did you do? What did you do, peace? What did you do, workers? What did you do, you who are against the death penalty? What did you do, everyone who's sick of the prison industrial complex? We can all get together and not do something. Let's not shop on the ninth of any month. Let's keep our money. That's something that the disabled can do, the elderly can do. That's something you can do without leaving home. You know, the marches are wonderful. The rallies are needed because that's how we get our information. That's how we register our protest. But not everyone can do that. Some people
that's
are
right.
prohibited from being able to get together. They can't travel. I tell you, Contempo is so busy that he destroys your income if possible, like mine. And it's hard for me to travel. I would love to come to Benton Harbor and support you, Reverend. But I can't travel because I would love to be there. You know, what y'all are dealing with up there, it is what they intend to do all over America. They do intend to eliminate government of the people, by the people, and for the people, even though that's never really been what we had, but they're sick of pretending. They
that's
are sick
right.
of being pretenders. They are ready to come right out with their Nazi selves and take over. And so let's all boycott because they all want the money. It's all about money. It's all about possessions. Let's keep our money on the ninth of every month, no matter what you protest. No matter what it is, let's stand together and keep our money on the ninth of every month. We can expand on it later, but let's just do it. No online shopping. Don't cheat. Don't shop
that's
online.
Okay.
Don't shop at the mall.
Okay. And Mary, let me say this to you. Now, you kind of like understand what a boycott would do, you see. But a lot of people don't understand the power of a boycott. Talk to me about a boycott. That's what I want you to talk about. Talk about the boycott and tell us and tell my listeners exactly what the effect it will have on the people.
May I chime in on that?
Well, let's hear from Mary first, then you go in. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mary.
All right, thank you. You know, I was so amazed to see the unionized workers standing in front of Martin Luther King's home site and church on the 4th of April, and they were marching for workers' rights. And they were white people, black people, Asian people, Native Americans. And the thing is, we were together. and they were marching for workers' rights. But the thing is that we are leaving out one of the most important things that changed things in the 60s. They didn't just march. We did march, but we didn't only march. If they had not boycotted to get those laws passed, it never would have happened. They boycotted the Alabama bus system. The bus system had to choose between either green light or closing down. So now, unless you show these people, not only are you going to expose them for being hypocrites worldwide with their marches and rallies, they don't want exposure either because they want to go out and fight other countries for being the same that they are. But exposure is not enough. We have to hit them in the pocket. And that's what happened in the 60s, and that's what we're leaving out too much now. We're not boycotting. Until we make a financial impact, we are only doing part of the job.
Very, very good. Ralph, why don't you tell me?
Yes, I would say, Mary, you're right on the money, because even the threat of boycott in the 60s, you didn't have to do it, just threaten it, caused them their knees to buckle. Now, understand with a boycott, you don't have to boycott everything. The profit margin is 5-7%. Cut that part off. You don't need everybody to cut that out. 5-7%. You bring down the economy. And so we have to determine whether we're serious. When you say boycott that day, let them see their profits go down one day a month. And then let them see their profits go down 2 days a month.
That's right.
And we could increase it day by day. And this will get their attention. So when you say boycott, and people say, oh, no, yes, it does work.
Please call me after the program,
Mary. Thank you.
Okay, let me say this, too, because usually most of the time what I normally do, I can threaten them by sending them a letter that there's going to be a boycott. And usually they will come and sit down at the table with me and discuss my issues. Until we do that, they never, ever do that. I don't care who it may be. You know, they never, ever come and sit down at the table with you until you tell them that you plan on boycotting their product or boycotting their hotel or doing whatever needs to be done. You know how that goes. But we want to make sure people understand exactly what direction that we're heading in. And any time that we don't understand the idea that this is a hostile takeover of not only of a city like Benton Harbor, but we're talking about the whole country. That's right. It's our country, but they plan on it's a hostile takeover, and it's no longer it's the haves against the have-nots. That's what you want to get it down to. You know,
Your guest from Mississippi got on the radio, got on your program, and she says, don't you understand? It's the integration of the elites. And Mr. Obama thinks he's an elite.
Mm-hmm.
He's not concerned about us. Nobody cares about integrating us. So we have to know that the race problem is big, and all of these problems are big, but we can solve them ourselves by keeping our money in our pocket and keeping our children at home. Even though they're unemployed, we're not going to accept the Army as legitimate employment for our children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. And go ahead, Mary.
I just want to say that you are so right as far as elite integration. I wrote a poem about that, elite integration. You see, the thing is that the elite white people and elite black people, or people who have that man consciousness, have gotten together. And unfortunately, they have gotten together and combined their strength against us. The working people, the people who are trying to scratch out a living, no matter what race you are. And they're just now showing their real self.
Hello? Ralph, go ahead. We just lost her. Ralph.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Listen, let me read this. I want to read this article right fast. It says the people versus the corporation in the Rust Belt. The eruption we are facing in the Midwest and in the Rust Belt, in particular, proved to be about budget deficit or trying to balance a budget. It's a struggle to reconstruct the state to suit the needs of the capitalist class in crisis. We are seeing a transformation where more and more of the government is being placed under corporate control. We are being reduced from the status of citizen to that of a customer with no democracy rights, where we live at the whim of raising or falling market power. We have seen mass movement erupt in Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. These are the defensive battles fighting back against the proposed bill that restrict or change our economic relationship. It is good to see these uphill battles. Historically, some are the largest mobilization in these states ever. We understand that the changing economic condition will create some type of social response. In that sense, the fight back against collector began around public employees, the fight around tax cutting and pensions, and the bill that addressed the question of restricting the benefits like health care make a new stage in the development of attack on the working class. So what they're doing, they're attacking the working class. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. As I always said, listen, the working class and the class that is not working, the unemployed. We have to understand that the unemployed comprise a large amount of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say working class, the unemployed are those who wish to work and cannot. And we have to understand there's plenty of jobs. They just took
mm-hmm.
the jobs and exported them someplace else. There's plenty of money. They just
mm-hmm.
took the money and redistributed, gave it to the banks. And we have to start thinking of actions that we can do today, now. We have to think
now.
Of philosophies that we can put in place now. And we can do that without asking anybody anything. I will not serve. My children will not serve. I will not spend. And we have to make that real. And I told the story last week, as I told my daughter and my son-in-law, who were saying, gee, we need to buy a new refrigerator. I said, don't buy Whirlpool. And they called me, and they said, okay. And they called me from Sears, and they said, Dad, did you understand that Sears sells not only Whirlpool, but Kenmore is Whirlpool? So I said, I don't care
mm-hmm.
what it is. If it's Whirlpool, I don't care what name it's on it. Don't buy it. And I said, They didn't buy it. You can have effect with your friends, your family, the people around you, and it will ripple out. Because they were shocked. They had no idea. Kenmore, because they agreed, okay, yeah, that's easy enough. It wasn't easy, but they did
yeah.
it.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Said, you know, absolutely. Buy anything. Let them people know. Let the salesman know. No, I'm not buying
mm-hmm.
that. And then
that's
tell
right.
them you're lucky that they're buying anything because we're talking boycott. We're going to put everybody out of work. See what I'm
hey,
saying?
Talk to
that's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's when your movement gets teeth. So when we parade and do all of these things, these are movements without teeth. And every time we parade, we have to put forth an action. And then, as I see old George put his newspaper down and look at me with the solid, not stern, but solid eyes, and then questioning
mm-hmm.
eyes. And then, what did you do? I wish I had a picture of his eyes. I'd show it to all of the unions. Don't tell me what the corporation is doing. Back in the days when they didn't want you, and they had union police and company police, and the Rust Belt, where you couldn't drive anywhere in 100 miles in any direction in western Pennsylvania and Virginia, you could see the fire of a steel mill. They took it all away, took the job, shipped them overseas,
mm-hmm.
and they called it, the bankers called it, a minor economic development.
Beautiful.
Well, that's
listen,
not me. Listen,
hold on, Ralph, hold on for one second. Let me bring on Libby. Libby, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me okay? All right.
I can hear you wonderful.
I've got some news about the Whirlpool Corporation, which is one of our worst corporations, and it's in Berrien County, Michigan. And it's the largest manufacturer of appliances in the world. They have between 50% and 70% of the market, the world market. They've bought up, oh gosh, Amana, Estate, Gladiator Garage Works, believe it or not, that's the name of an appliance company, Esperience, Genair, KitchenAid, Magic Chef, Maytag, Roper, Across, Inglis, and some other ones that are European. Oh, Admiral, IKEA Appliances, and some Kenmore, which I think you get at Sears, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So here, reading from bhbanco.org, is Saturday, May 14th post. When reading the following brief report on Whirlpool activities, keep in mind, one, Representative Fred Upton, who is the rep to Congress from this area, Berrien County, Michigan. He's the heir to Whirlpool, so, you know, it's no mistake that he's a rep to Congress, too, was a sponsor of NAFTA. And two, he's one of the wealthiest representatives in Congress and therefore has a lot of power, for example, to influence the 5-0 vote reported in this article I'm about to read. So that's Representative Fred Upton. And also keep in mind the antitrust law was out the window while Whirlpool gobbled 72% of the domestic market through product and brand acquisition. Now they're demanding protection from the law via tariffs on foreign manufacturers to protect domestic jobs, the majority of which they continue to export. Excuse me. Also keep in mind the motivation here is to tax these two companies so prices of their products are driven up in the United States. Whirlpool products will have less competition as a result. And lastly, keep in mind, of course, that Whirlpool can still sell appliances worldwide without tariffs. This is from Bloomberg News of the same day, May 14th. U.S. rules imports harm Whirlpool's business. Whirlpool Corporation, the world's largest appliance maker, is being harmed. Oh, poor them, excuse me, by low-cost refrigerators from Mexico and South Korea. A U.S. trade panel ruled, paving the way for tariffs on those imports. The U.S. International Trade Commission voted, now here's where Upton's influence helps. The U.S. ITC, International Trade Commission, voted 5-0 in Washington yesterday, that would be Friday the 13th, in a preliminary ruling on the petition by Whirlpool to get anti-dumping and countervailing duties imposed on so-called bottom-mount refrigerators made by Samsung Electronics Company or LG Electronics, Inc., in those two nations, Mexico and South Korea. LG said it will aggressively contest the decision. The decision is the first of four the U.S. company must win before tariffs of as much as 183% are imposed. A spokeswoman for Samsung didn't respond to an email seeking a response. Jill Saletta is a spokeswoman for Whirlpool, and she said in a statement, "This unanimous decision by the ITC validates the action we've taken to protect our 23,000 U.S. employees and the communities in which they work." I don't have words to describe the dishonesty in that statement.
Wow.
So that's the end of that. And one other thing about Whirlpool I want to report. This is posted at bhbanco.org. Whirlpool has paid no corporate taxes for 3 years, and everybody's talking about other corporations paying no taxes, so let's just add Whirlpool. Let's see here. According to Business Week, they have not paid a dime in corporate taxes in 3 full years. And last year they got a $64 million tax refund.
Wow.
And the large corporation that is an integral part of the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan, and received I don't know. This is so unbelievable. They received tax breaks from Benton Harbor last year. Supposedly, this article says $3.87 million. Is that possible?
That
Benton Harbor gave Whirlpool that much money in their taxes last year?
Oh, absolutely. Probably more than that. There's no question about it. Whirlpool have never paid taxes in the city of Benton Harbor. They have never paid taxes in the last 20 years.
But it's, okay, well, it's astounding to me that Benton Harbor gave them a tax break of almost $4
million. Those are rebates that they don't have to pay. Those are taxes that they should pay to Benton Harbor, and if they had paid their taxes to the city of Benton Harbor, the community of Benton Harbor, there would be no cash flow problem.
Yeah, right.
The fact that they don't pay their taxes and they get rebates, you know,
yeah.
There you have it. You know,
yeah.
Corporations that exist in communities pay the community's taxes so that the communities can exist.
I'm looking for you.
They're there using up community property and land with no taxes. You know what that does to the community? They got tax rebates. Yes, it is hard to believe. True, it is.
Well, you know, that's what I've been saying for years. I've been saying the same thing over and over again, that these greedy, blood-sucking corporations, they've been doing the same thing, sucking the life out of the people. And they pay no taxes, none. And here we are. We don't pay taxes. We go to jail.
Exactly.
So
right.
Now,
try not paying your utilities bill for a while.
Oh, absolutely. They get cut off. And
not 3 years.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, Libby, you got something
else. I have one more thing here, which comes from The Nation magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good article about what's going on in Michigan and Benton Harbor, both, and with our brand new governor, Rick Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with this article, I'll just say up front, is... The word whirlpool is not mentioned, and it should be in every paragraph. But other than that, it's a good article. It starts out by saying, in Michigan, protesters greeted Governor Rick Snyder during Benton Harbor, St. Joe and Benton Harbor's annual parade. The governor has become the center of much controversy lately due to his statewide budget that includes deep cuts in education while providing billions in tax breaks for businesses and his proto-fascist use of appointed, quote, emergency managers, unquote, to reject, modify, or terminate the terms of any existing contracts or collective bargaining agreements and dissolve local governing bodies of schools and cities. Yeah, the first place, by the way, this is not in the article, that this has happened in Benton Harbor. Well, during this parade, activists chanted "Recall Rick" as the governor passed. And so I was there, and it was very powerful. Going on, some of the protesters who were led by the AFL-CIA, actually it's AFL-CIO, isn't it?
Yes, it is. AFL-CIO.
Members of industrial organizations.
Yeah, this
absolutely
right. And this article from The Nation, they put AFL-CIA, but anyways, came from as far away as Kentucky for this protest. People are waking up, said Betsy Kofia, who traveled from Traverse City, Michigan, to protest the parade. Michigan didn't have a Wisconsin. Things just sneaked in behind us. We're starting to realize that unless we, the people, start getting engaged and make our voices heard, we're going to lose what we thought we had. Michigan Rep, now this is a state representative, not federal, Al Pachulka, his name is Al Pachulka, was also scheduled to appear in the parade but declined to participate after he heard about the scheduled protest. Poor Al Pachulka said he was deeply disappointed and angered about the news of the protests. And while the protesters have a right to exercise their First Amendment liberties at the parade, that doesn't make it appropriate. There may be some sore feelings on the part of Pachulka due to the fact that his own constituents are trying to force him out of office via recall for a variety of offenses, including his role as the author of the new emergency manager legislation. you know that came right from Whirlpool. Anyways, conveniently, the new emergency financial manager rules could abet Pachulca's finances. In addition to being the state rep from the area that includes Benton Harbor, Pachulca is a former aide to, guess who, Congressman Fred Upton. Big surprise. A man who has deep ties into shoreline development efforts all along Lake Michigan, including Benton Harbor. Pachulca himself was the president of the board of directors of the Cornerstone Alliance, which is, by the way, the Whirlpool real estate arm. In 2008, the group that developed the Harbor Shores Golf Course and luxury residential development that snagged some of Benton Harbor's public park for its own use. This is a fact he conveniently left off his campaign site's about page when he ran for congressman. The first use of the new emergency financial manager law to take over a city's government was right in Benton Harbor, the area that Rep. Pachulca represents and where he has deep financial interests. And the first thing that Benton Harbor's EFM, Joseph Harris, did after dismissing the city council was to rejigger the Planning Commission and Brownfield Development Authority, the two groups who make crucial decisions regarding shoreline development in Benton Harbor. Harris replaced some of their members with new members selected by him, which you know means Whirlpool. That means Whirlpool. With that blatant conflict of interest in mind, it's no surprise residents of Benton Harbor want to recall Pachulca. Here is a representative using, and in some cases, changing the laws to benefit his financial self-interest. Moving right along here. I hope I haven't. I think I lost the rest of the article.
But don't worry about that. You did good so far, so I appreciate that because that was right on the money. I tell you, what you just said is so true. You're not really, you know, we're doing this by remote today. I'm doing it from Chicago, and I'm telling you, I'm having a tremendous time. I got Ralph Point on the line. I got Mary Neal, and I got Libby Hunter, and I think we're taking this thing to a whole different level. And I tell you, one of the things we got about 5 minutes left. And, Ralph, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to say whatever your heart desires. Go right ahead, Ralph.
I'm going to be brief. Lynn Stewart wants you to know she went to Hope College, and she is contacting her friends in Hope College to get people out there in the Upper Peninsula listening in on your program. Because, you know, out there in Hope College, that's where Blackwater was formed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group that opposes Blackwater, and she's written and writing to the communicating with them to get in touch with you to forward this issue. And that's what it's about, you know, not just networking for progress to bring down the empire. Thank you, love you all.
And thank you, Rab. Go ahead, Mary.
I want to say, Reverend, and to the audience, that last week the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it's okay for policemen to break in your house without a warrant.
Right.
Or get up online. It's okay for them to do that now. Warrantless home invasions by police are approved by the United States Supreme Court. You see, Benton Harbor is being taken over, and everybody who the people there voted for, they're really eliminating the power of the vote there. And they ruled that police can break in your house all over America. And my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested and murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail. And they won't even give us records. You see, we don't have any rights, people, but we can have rights. Does the flag still fly over the land of the free and the brave? No, and it never has. This has never been the land of the free and the brave, but we can make it so. Let us do this. Look online for Boycott for Justice and see all the reasons why you should keep your money on the 9th of every month and join the Nonviolent People's Emergency Response to Unrighteousness, Unjustice, Corporate Takeover, Government government indifference to the problems of America. Mr. Obama pledged to spend billions of dollars for foreign aid. He just did that last week. Billions of dollars. Like Mr. Plummer said, America isn't broke. It's their priorities. The priorities are messed up. Let's prioritize what we need by keeping our money on the 9th of every month. Thank you.
That's true. Thank you. Go ahead, Libby.
Just one last thing. If you want to see the intensity of what it was like to be at this protest in Michigan with our new governor walking right down the middle of the street in the parade and having hundreds of protesters booing him, and in the short time he's been in office, you know, people slowly are understanding the damage that he's going to do to the state, and it was very intense being at this parade protest. There are a number of videos that people made on their phones or cameras or whatever from this parade protest, but the most sort of the one that showed what it was really like to be there, you can watch it. It's 4 minutes and 44 seconds, and it's on May 9th, if you go to bhbanco.org and just scroll down to May 9th, you can watch it. 4 minutes and 44 seconds, you'll see him, you'll see a lot of the protesters, and just the way it was filmed really gives you a feel for what it was like to be there. And it's been a long time since, I think Reverend Pinckney mentioned this last week or the week before, that, you know, I've been in a protest where one of the people who is in the ruling class, in the elite, is right there in front of your face. So bhbanco.org and scroll down to May 9th. And that's
beautiful.
About it for me.
Hey, appreciate that. Listen, August the 8th in Benton Harbor. October the 8th in Benton Harbor, we're going to have Cynthia McKinney. She's going to be in Benton Harbor to speak October the 8th. And I want everybody to come. And listen, and then June 18th, we're having our memorial rally and march for justice. It's going to start at 12 noon. It's going to be followed by a march across the street to the courthouse to take a stand for justice. We are not to allow T-shirt death to be in vain. We're going to meet at Benton Harbor Library at 213 Wall Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan. June 18 will mark the 8-year anniversary of the June 2003 uprising in Benton Harbor. It was a public response to the high-speed chase and death of 28-year-old Terrence T-shirt Sherman. Please come and join the T-shirt Memorial Rally in Benton Harbor. We're going to have food, music, and we're going to do voter registration. We're going to do everything that needs to be done. And we want people to come, and we want them to come and grow, because this is going to send a message to people all across the country. And we want to make sure people understand how serious this is. Because I tell you, we've been taking this thing to a whole different level, and we have to do the things that need to be done. I'm more than happy today to be here. I'm in beautiful, beautiful Chicago. We were at a convention, and I tell you, I took time just to do this radio show, because to me, the radio show is another tool to get the word out, and we've been doing exactly what we need to do. Thank you very much for everybody who's listening, and last week, we had our highest rating ever. I don't know why. It seemed like it was a weird show, but I tell you one thing, we had our highest rating ever last week, and I want to thank you, Ralph. I want to thank you, Mary, and I want to thank you, Libby, and I want to
thank
everybody who was on the show last week, because for the reason unknown, it was the highest rating we ever had. And I am really excited. But remember, if you can't make it June 18th to Benton Harbor, you need to be there October 8th, Cynthia McKinney, and that's going to be a treat for everybody. And then on Sunday, the 9th, we're going to go and have breakfast with Cynthia McKinney. So
wonderful.
On that note, I don't think there's anything better that we can say.
And I want people to tell people all across the country, because I want people to be there. And I'm just going to say, on that note, I want you to tell Lynn I love her, tell her to keep up the good work, stay focused, stay positive, and she got me.
And say hello to Cynthia for those of us from New York.
That's right. And listen, on that note, I got it. It's all over. I will talk to y'all next week, and let me get back to the meeting, okay?
Good night.
God bless y'all.
Have you all.
Good night. God bless everyone.
Okay. All right, then.
God bless you.
Okay. All right. Let me have that charge.
Okay, right. It's all done.
Yeah. Oh, that was all done. That was perfect timing.
Did you get one of these?
Yes, I got one. You know,
I'm
yeah, you keep that for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way. Okay. As long as you don't try to sell it, because people been selling my pictures, so I want to.
Well, you should get what?
That's what I'm talking about. Well, you know, it's coming. You know, all we have to do is get it back.
Actually, use it.
Yeah. We can. You know, the battle continues. That's how I look at it.
You know, we visit
time and stuff.
That's
not a